You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Colossians is the series that we're on. We've been on this series for a few weeks here on Sunday mornings. And he wrote this letter to this church that he'd never been to. It was a city, it wasn't as prominent as it used to be. During his time, it had lost a lot of its prominence. It was kind of off the beaten path, kind of like Wills Point. You know, we used to be on the train tracks, and that's where everybody, you know, did their business and kept coming back and forth on the train. But then the interstate came out, and Wills Point's no longer on that main track. Colossians kind of like that. And he starts out just like always, greeting them and, you know, talking about God's grace and God's peace. And he found out about it from a guy named Epaphras. Everybody say Epaphras. You don't have to say that 10 times, but anyway. He told Paul about it, and Paul got excited. He's in prison. And he writes this letter to him, encouraging them. I think that's just awesome. And here he is, he's in prison, and he's trying to encourage others. I don't know what you're going through, but maybe you need to get your eyes on somebody else and help somebody else and encourage somebody else. Sometimes you'll come out of your mess helping others. Amen. Than just staying, you know, focused on yourself the whole time. And so he did that. He greeted them. He talked about his calling. He talked about Epaphras. He talked about a prayer that he's praying for them, and he listed details of that prayer and the things that he prayed for specifically. And then he talked about some things that Jesus did. And then he talked about the greatness of Jesus. I love that. Never go wrong that way. Amen. Colossians, like any city, Colossae, had its problems. Just, you know, every city's different. Different temptations in different cities. Bigger cities, different smaller cities. There's different pulls in some cities. There would be in other cities. And in Colossae was a city with a lot of pagan idols, and they worshipped all kinds of gods. It was a Gentile city. And so Paul addressed some of that in this letter. And of course, the best way to combat that is talk about how good God is. He's the God above all gods. And Jesus is the creator of all things. And so he does that. He takes a few verses here from the 15th to the 20th talking about the greatness of Jesus. Exalting him. Kind of like we did here as we worshipped him and talked about it, all he's done for us and who he is. You know, he wanted to get that straight. Jesus is not a message that we bring. He's not a message. He's the message. Are you with me? He's not a doctrine that we preach. He is the doctrine. In fact, he himself didn't bring a message. He himself is the message. When he showed up, he was the message. He didn't come tell them about God. He was God. He said, "He that seen me, seen the Father." And so Paul in this book talks about the lordship of Jesus Christ, the headship of Jesus Christ, that he's over the church, that he's over all things, that he created all things. And he goes down to the 20th verse. This is about where we got to last time we got into this. And he says, "And by him, Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, and by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Woo! I love that exhortation we had about the blood. You know, that's how God sees us, is through the blood. Amen. And God made peace with us through the blood of his cross. He didn't make it through our goodness and our mercy. I mean, he didn't make it through our works and our acts of kindness. You know, you're just not that good. I'm not that good. He made peace with us through the blood of Jesus. And he didn't just reconcile us. Notice it says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself." All things. By him were the things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus is not just a Western God. He's not just the God of this earth. He is the God of the universe. He made everything that is. And so he's not just concerned with this little corner of the universe over here. He's concerned with all creation. And of course, there's a lot in that when you understand redemption. The universe fell, the earth fell, and the universe fell because man sinned some 6,000 years ago. It's an old story. It's in the Bible. Genesis talks about it. First, second, third chapter. Talks about the fall of Adam. But when he fell, the whole world fell. So Jesus comes back to redeem the whole world, the whole universe. But he's got to start with man, because man is where it fell first. It fell with man. It's going to have to be restored through man. Amen. So not only is Jesus redeeming us, which he has, but he's going to redeem the whole world as we know it. One day we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more dying, no more pain, the Bible says. For the former things have passed away, and all things have become new. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John said in Revelation chapter 21. And so that took place. What Jesus did on the cross started a process that's going to redeem all of humanity, all of mankind, all of the earth, all of creation, things in heaven and things in the earth. Wow. This is what Jesus did. You know, he doesn't just have a little select club. He's working. He is redeeming the whole world, the whole universe, changing everything. And Jesus does change everything. Especially when you get him in your life. I'll tell you, you're no longer the same. Your world is rocked, as they say. You accept Jesus, you're changed completely. So he says this, and you, I love this, the 21st verse. He transitions from the greatness of Jesus to how it comes down to you, what it means to you. I love that. It's wonderful to talk about God and his goodness and all that he does, but it's impossible to talk about him without talking about what he does for us. You know, even that, I talk about his goodness toward us, his mercy toward us. He is our peace, our healer, our joy, our strength, our shield, our reward, our protector, our provider. You know, all these things. You talk about God, you have to talk in terms of what he does for us, because he is everything to us. He is our life and our strength and our healing and our salvation and our peace. And see, you can't find it out there in all the things that you go after. You have to go after him, because everything you're looking for is in him. And you, he says, in this 21st verse, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Amen. Everybody say were. Everybody say now. Well, see, now you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You were. But now he has reconciled you. You know, I love the connection it makes with the mind. I think it's so good. He says, you were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Did you know when you don't live right, it messes your mind up?
Yes.
It does. And when you start living right, it fixes your mind.
Amen.
You start thinking differently. It really does. You know, people accuse us of church bringing people down here and brainwashing them. Well, I'll take that accusation. Put it on a badge. I'll wear that one. That's what we do in church. We wash people's brains. Before I got saved, my brain was so messed up and so filthy and dirty, I needed it washed. I needed it clean. I needed it cleansed. Wicked works destroy your brain. It messes your brain up. When you start living right and going for God and living for God, it cleans your brain up. It washes your brain. We have been brainwashed. Hallelujah. And the world has it. And they're proud of it, that their brain has not been washed. I'm not going down that church, let them wash my brain. I'm not going there and get brainwashed. Okay, fine, just stay filthy and dirty. You know, come over here. If we ever get ready for a good cleansing, come to church and get in God's Word. Amen? And get your brain washed. Hallelujah. You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. I used to be lost. How about you?
Yes.
I mean, I used to be, you know, my thoughts were totally different than they are now. The things I did were totally different than what I do now. Amen. That is not even the same person I am now. In fact, now I'm not that person. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Amen. The things I used to do, I'm not proud of. The things I used to think and say, and you know, I'm not proud of. That's an old man. Thank God he died. Thank God I was born again.
Yes.
Thank God I'm a new creature.
Yes.
Thank God he reconciled me. I couldn't do it. He did it. He did it. Jesus did what I couldn't do.
Amen.
I owe him, well, I just owe him everything, that's all.
Yes.
Just everything. I owe him my whole life.
Amen.
My whole eternity, my future. I owe him my wife.
Come on.
Yeah. I owe him my family.
Yeah.
I owe him this church.
Yes.
I owe him the life I have now. I owe him. I owe him. Because I wouldn't have this life. I wouldn't have this family. I wouldn't have this joy. I wouldn't have this peace. I wouldn't have this assurance. I wouldn't have this life, this salvation without him. He reconciled me. He did. He reconciled me. That deserves something, doesn't it? Doesn't it deserve some loyalty, some service, some, you know, acknowledgement, some thanks, some gratitude? It deserves something, you know? We ought to walk worthy of this calling. You know, people ask why you do what you do. Well, I do what I do because I've been saved. I've been forgiven. Are you with me?
Yes.
I've gotten hope now. I've got life now. Praise God. And he did it, praise God. Not some fallen god, not some idol, not some angel, not some wisdom, some concept, some catchy saying. No, Jesus did it. He reconciled me. Absolutely reconciled me. In the body of his flesh, 22nd verse, through death, he died for me. He suffered for me. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Woo! That's what Jesus did. He presents us holy and blameless and above reproach. See, we often feel that we don't mount up, we don't measure up, we don't, we don't count, we don't make the grade, as it were. Especially when we're praying and seeking God or whatever, we feel like we're not worthy. Well, hey, he made us worthy. That's the whole point. Are you out of here? That's why Jesus came, because you couldn't do that, but he did it.
Yes,
he did it. Wow. And I am worthy, because he made me worthy.
Yes.
And as far as God's concerned, I'm above reproach.
Yes.
Because he made me above reproach. He sees me through that blood, the blood of his cross. Praise God. If indeed, 23rd verse, you continue in the faith. Everybody say the faith.
Faith.
I love this, because a lot of people twist this and say, well, see there, you got to work, you got to work, got to work. No, well, it didn't say continue in the work. It said continue in the faith. And I believe I will continue to live holy and live right and do the right things. But it's me continuing in the faith that keeps me right. My trust, don't lose my trust in God. My whole ticket to heaven is based on my trust in Jesus Christ. That's it, period. Nothing else. And I will continue in that faith. I'm not going to get old and decide I don't believe anymore. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go let the years rock on and decide, well, it really is not all true, and then lose my faith. No, no, I'm going to continue in my faith. Because my faith in Jesus Christ is what saves me. My faith and my trust in Him. My love for Him. Praise God. My passion for Him. My belief in Him and all that He did. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Hallelujah. Which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now at this point, obviously, everyone had not heard, but Paul was talking about a gospel that had spread so fast and gone from nation to nation to nation that he is waxing a little poetic, maybe evangelistic here, you know, when he says every creature. Because Paul's still preaching. And there are still people that hadn't heard. You know, it'd be like saying Caesar caused all the world to be taxed. That's in the Bible too. But not all the world as we know it, all of his world, his domain, his empire. Like you had a party and you said everybody was there, but they weren't. Everybody wasn't there. You didn't invite me. But a lot of people were there. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? Everybody was there. One of those kind of deals. Well, this gospel has been preached to all, every creature under heaven. In other words, it's come to all the world. And of course, we're still preaching today to fulfill this. And he says something amazing here. He says, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. King James says, made a minister. I like King James there. Because really, you know, you don't just decide to be a minister. You are made a minister. God makes ministers, amen. And he makes us capable and he makes us able. And if he calls us to do something, he empowers us and anoints us and gifts us to do it. Okay? Just like you couldn't be saved on your own, you can't do what God asks you to do on your own. And the good news is you're not on your own. Well, I feel like God wants me to do this. I don't think I can do that. Well, if God wants you to do that, he'll give you the ability to do that. I'd like to go to heaven. How about you? I couldn't do that either. But he did it for me. Amen? And if God calls you to do something or asks you to do something or puts on your heart to do something, well, you know, God makes you that. He makes you a minister. Woo! Thank you for your enthusiasm. I hate to inform you that you can do it, but you can't. And if you want them all, mull over and you want to wallow in your inability and weakness, you're going to have to go to some other church, because that's not this kind of church. Amen. This church is the kind of church that tells you you can make it and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. You got the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls you to triumph in Christ, and greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. Hallelujah. That's what this church is about. Jesus has done what you couldn't do. He loves you and He's for you and He empowers you and He strengthens you and He walks with you, and you're never alone. You've never been alone a day in your life since you got saved.
Amen.
He's always been with you. And He's been there to deliver you and to help you.
Yes.
And to make a man out of you, make a woman out of you. Yes. Somebody that's useful for God. To come out of the mess that you're in. To overcome those sins, those temptations. He has come down to stand you up on your feet. He has. He's done that. To reconcile you to God. Hallelujah. To make you above reproach and worthy.
Amen.
Mm. Okay. 24th verse, He says this. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Now, He's not saying that Jesus didn't finish the job. He's talking about the persecution, the tribulation He goes through to get the gospel out.
Amen.
To get the gospel, get it paid for, and to get the price paid. Jesus did that. He fulfilled that. He finished it on the cross. And He rose up and made it good when He came out of that grave. And we are justified by His resurrection. But we do suffer persecution. We do suffer tribulation when we stand up for Jesus and get the gospel out.
Yes.
And we should rejoice in that.
Yes.
That someone would make fun of us for standing up for Jesus.
Yes.
Ought to wear that as a badge of honor. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So that's what He's saying. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, that everybody suffers that stands up for Christ. Okay? For the sake of His body, which is the church. Listen, there's some suffering you and I have to go through as far as the world's concerned. They're not all just going to think we're wonderful because we're serving God.
That's right.
And we need to pray for them and love them and minister to them. But you know, you're not going to be in everybody's circle if you're a Christian.
That's right.
They're not going to let you in their circle. They're going to blackball you, as it were.
Yeah.
Ostracize you, as it were. But that's okay. If it's for Jesus, I wear it as a badge of honor.
Hallelujah.
It's because I'm standing up for Jesus because I'm too holy. Are you with me? And they don't want anything to do because I'm always loving on them and praying for them, trying to get them in church. Well, that's okay. I mean, I'll take that suffering. I'll take that persecution. It's going to take that kind of persecution anyway for us to get the gospel out.
Yeah.
It's going to take some people to make a stand. And we ought to glory in that kind of suffering, that kind of tribulation. But you won't have that problem here. If you want to serve Jesus, we're for that. There are people who do love God.
Amen.
That will encourage you.
Yes.
Amen. But in the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, Jesus said, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's what He's saying here. I rejoice in that, you know, for the sake of the body, for the church, of which I became a minister. 25th verse, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. I love that. See, he found that His calling. God told him to do that. You know, God called me to preach. I never will forget that when He called me. I never will forget that when He did that. I mean, I remember the time. I remember the service. I remember all the details. Like yesterday when He called me to teach. I didn't just decide to teach. I didn't just get up one morning and said, you know what? I'm just going to go teach. I didn't decide to pastor. I didn't get up one morning and say, well, I just think I'll be a pastor. I didn't even want to teach, and I didn't want to pastor. And God called me. I know what Paul's saying here. He called me to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a calling. It's not a job for me. It's not a job to come down here and minister to you. Are you kidding me? It's an honor. It's a privilege. It really is. I thank God you just keep coming.
Amen.
You know, so I can minister to you. Because I'm going to minister to somebody because I'm called.
Right. Amen. Yes.
Might as well be you.
Amen.
And I have such a passion for it. I know that's not natural. That's not natural for me to like everybody. Well, you know what I'm saying.
Wow.
You've been there. Doesn't the love of God overwhelm you sometimes for people?
Amen.
Nothing likable about them, but I don't know. Your heart goes out to them, you know?
Amen.
And that's God. Thank God for that. No, you're great people. We got a wonderful church. Hallelujah. I talk about you all the time in a good way. I'm always bragging on this church. It is a joy for me to be here. It's not a pain. Oh, God, 28 years, I've had it. You know, are you kidding? Man, I'm just privileged to be here. I'm thankful I'm saved. I'm grateful I'm going to heaven. And for him to call me the pastor, that's just icing on the cake.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's just, so I don't have to just preach to Brenda 24/7. I get to preach to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he's talking about that, and he says, of which I became a minister, 25th verse, according to the stewardship from God. I love that. You know, we need more ministers from God. More ministers that God told to go do some things.
Yes.
You know, not just intelligent or, you know, just studied. Thank God for study. Thank God for, you know, for universities and colleges. And thank God for all the helps we can get. But see, just going to college doesn't make you a preacher. It doesn't anoint you. It doesn't make you called. We need people that are called from God. And you know what? You need to be in a church that you're called to also. That you know God wants you there. That in your heart, in your spirit, you feel a connection. You come in and God has moved on you. See, we don't, well, that's a nice church, let's go there. No, you go to a church that moves you toward God, that your spirit leaps. It leaps when you come in. And you know, this is it. I am supposed to be here. God's calling you. See, God should call you to a church.
Amen.
He should. You have a whole lot less problems when you go where God calls you.
Yeah.
Trying to plow through something God didn't ordain or didn't call you to. You know, not everybody's called to this church. I understand that. I mean, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I don't understand that. But no, I do understand that. For whatever reason, I don't minister to everybody. My personality, whatever, doesn't connect. And you know, that's okay. That's fine. I mean, you know, there's somebody out there that can minister to them. And you need to find that place where you are pulled, where the anointing of God, it grabs you, it pulls, it tugs at you, and it convicts you. That's good, not condemnation, but it convicts you of your sin. And then it encourages you, and it charges, and it challenges you. And you should walk out of church better than you walked in. You shouldn't walk out of here beat over the head and beat down and just miserable and feeling worthless. You ought to walk out with a spring in your step, head held high, praise God, child of the living God. I can make it. I can go for it. I can do it. God's with me. Church ought to empower you, see? It should, because the anointing's here. Or should be. That's the kind of church you ought to go to. Hallelujah. We ought to be called. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what he's saying. He said, God gave me this. He ordained me to this. It's a stewardship from heaven. It was given to me for you. And I love that, to fulfill the word of God. Anything I have is for you. It's for you. It's not for me. The anointing on me is not for me. You know, the ability to run through the scripture and take it apart and make it practical and make it exciting. And you know, that's not for me. That's for you. You got a gift? It's for somebody else. It's not for you. It's on you for somebody else. Get it?
Yeah.
And Paul said, it's on me for you. God gave it to me for you. That's a weird way to say it. But that's what he's saying. He gave it to me for you. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations and now has been revealed to his saints. You know, there have been things revealed in the New Testament that never were known in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You can't read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. You have to read the New Testament to understand the Old Testament.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And through the New Testament, you find out what all that was about. It was all about Jesus. It was all about a Savior. It was all about our need for a Redeemer. And the Redeemer has come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus. And it says this. It says, this mystery that was hidden, it's now been revealed in the saints. 27th verse. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want to know what the great mystery is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Something they never had in the Old Testament. Oh, God was with them and for them, but he never was in them. Now Christ is in us. The great mystery that never was revealed in the Gentiles, in the Jews, in anyone who call on his name. Great mystery, but it's the hope of our hope. The only hope of glory that you and I have is Christ in us. And if you don't have Christ in you, there is no hope of glory. But the hope of glory is that I have Christ in me. And this is the mystery that was hid. Oh, they walked with him and he anointed them and he came on them and he showed up, but he never was in them. Not like we have him in us now. The great mystery that was hid. Okay, can I finish this chapter out real quick? Okay, the mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach.
Yes.
What do you preach? It's not a what, it's a who. We preach Him. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
You want to be perfect? You got to get in Christ.
Amen.
Closest thing you ever came to perfection is when you filled out your resume. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being perfect. How? In Christ. You'll only be presented perfect in Christ. That's all. He's the message. Him we preach. He reconciled all things to Himself. He is whom we preach. Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. 29th verse. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. He's not by Himself. He's not trying to do it on His own. It's the work of God in Him, working mightily in Him to this end, that people would come to Jesus. That's something we say a lot in the office when we pray. We'll pray, you know, God help us today. God help us, give us wisdom with people, give us favor with people. Whatever we're doing, whether we're typing on a computer, whether we're answering the phone, doing paperwork, whatever it is that we do, Father, let us understand that everything we do comes down to people being saved. And people coming to Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we do everything. That's why we turn the lights on, put the carpet down here. That's why we sing songs. That's why we preach. That's why we do everything. It's so people can come to Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Now, obviously healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and lots of things, but ultimately coming to Jesus is the end to which we preach. It is the end to the food ministry. It is the end to the mission outreaches and to the Hallelujah Night and to the television ministry. All that we do is to this end. That people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why we preach. Amen? That's why we do what we do.